Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, August 27th. There are new developments in the sexual assault case against Nathan Fletcher. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. San Diego's new fire chief is now on duty. Robert Logan was sworn in over the weekend. His first day on the job was yesterday. Logan is a lifelong San Diegan with nearly 25 years of service, including as a deputy fire chief overseeing special operations.
My goal was always just to be the best at whatever position I was in, and that led to people pushing me up the ladder. And then sometimes they pushed me into positions that I didn't want to be in, but it actually made me better and it got me to where I am today. So the feeling is absolutely amazing.
Chief Logan co-founded Lincoln High School's Fire Protection Program. He is also an active member of Women in Fire, a national organization that helps advance and empower women in fire and emergency services. Carlsbad is holding its 2024 State of the City Address today. Because of construction at the auditorium where it would have been held, the presentation will be made at the beginning of today's City Council meeting. During the speech, you can learn more about major projects and initiatives in Carlsbad from the past year, and also what's planned for the upcoming year. The City Council meeting will start at 5 p.m. and the State of the City video presentation will begin at 5:15. You can join the meeting in person or watch the live stream on the city's website. We'll see temperatures gradually increasing through the middle of the week, but the National Weather Service says even with the warming trend, high temps are expected to remain normal for this time of year. Today in the inland areas, temps will be in the mid-80s, by the coast and in the mountains, it'll be in the high 70s, and in the deserts, it should reach around 107 degrees. Temperatures will drop by a couple degrees in most parts of the county towards the end of the week and into the weekend. The desert areas are the only places where temps will increase a bit throughout the week. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
A new court filing in the sexual assault case against former San Diego County Supervisor Nathan Fletcher includes text messages that undermine the allegations made by Fletcher's accuser. Investigative reporter Amitha Sharma has details.
In March 2023, former Metropolitan Transit Authority employee Gracia Figueroa sued Fletcher, alleging sexual assault, harassment, and battery on three separate occasions in 2022. She says he kissed her and groped her, but in text messages to a friend, Figueroa described those encounters as makeout sessions. This, according to a new filing by Fletcher last week. Fletcher's lawyer, Sam Sherman, said the texts are devastating to Figueroa's case.
They completely eviscerate any claim that Figueroa has that she suffered any sexual assault or sexual harassment at the hands of Nathan Fletcher. They show that at each turn, she welcomed this behavior. She was anticipating this behavior.
Figueroa declined to comment on the text. Fletcher has denied the allegations, saying Figueroa consented to the interactions. He has filed a cross-complaint accusing her of defamation. Amitha Sharma, KPBS News.
You can visit kpbs.org to read a detailed account of the new court filing. Once again, Donald Trump and other politicians are making the threat of migrant crime a key election talking point. But as border reporter Gustavo Solis explains, research shows immigrants are actually less likely to commit crimes than native-born Americans.
Leading up to the presidential election, politicians are using fear of migrant crime as a rationale for policies like mass deportation and more border walls. Sometimes the rhetoric is subtle. simply casting suspicion on people crossing the border illegally. Here is El Cajon Mayor and Republican congressional candidate Bill Wells.
There are a lot of people coming over, and we have no idea who they are. And it stands to reason that many of them will be criminals.
And sometimes it's much more overt, like former President Donald Trump at this year's Republican National Convention.
They're coming from prisons. They're coming from jails. They're coming from mental institutions and insane asylums.
And we are all less safe because of it.
And bad things are going to happen, and you're seeing it happen all the time. That's why, to keep our families safe, the Republican platform promises to launch the largest deportation operation in the history of our country.
Democrats largely condemn Trump for demonizing immigrants, but they also tout their own policies aimed at getting tough at the border. In 2020, President Joe Biden ran on a platform to roll back harsh Trump-era immigration policies. But at the Democratic National Convention last week, Kamala Harris supported tough border measures.
Last year, Joe and I brought together Democrats and conservative Republicans to write the strongest border bill in decades. The Border Patrol endorsed it.
But these actions, all in the name of protecting American citizens from migrant crime, are not backed up by the available facts.
In all of the cities that have seen large numbers of migrants arriving, crime is actually going down right now. So not only is there not a migrant crime wave, there's not even a crime wave.
That's Aaron Reichlin-Melnick, the policy director for the American Immigration Council. He points to local crime data in cities with large immigrant populations, including New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and San Diego. In all of them, violent crime is down compared to last year. In fact, several studies show that immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than people born in the U.S. Consider research by Alex Noratha of the libertarian-leaning Cato Institute. He has studied crime rates in Texas, the only state that includes immigration status in its crime data.
But the results of all the papers are pretty similar to each other in that they all find that native-born Americans have the highest criminal conviction rates and arrest rates. Illegal immigrants have rates in the middle, and then legal immigrants have the lowest.
Norasta's research shows that undocumented immigrants in Texas are 26% less likely to be convicted of homicide compared to people born in the U.S., and legal immigrants are 60% less likely.
Or if the goal is to reduce violent and property offenders, mass deportations of illegal immigrants will not reduce the crime rate.
But even these hard facts can be no match for America's centuries-old anti-immigrant narrative. At various points in history, Irish, Italian, and Japanese immigrants have all been considered threats to public safety. And one way politicians like Trump stoke fear is to cherry-pick examples of gruesome, horrific crimes committed by immigrants. Here again is Reichlin-Melnick.
And of course, there have been individual incidents which are truly horrific. You have seen several women who have been murdered by individuals who were undocumented, and these have been truly awful circumstances, and my heart goes out to the family.
Yet, he says that one thing that's always missing from these accounts is context. These are isolated examples from a population of more than 12 million people.
But at the end of the day, it is not correct to say, to point at one or two instances and use that to extrapolate out to an entire population of people of diverse backgrounds, religions, faiths, creeds, national origins, who really only share one thing, and that is a lack of paperwork.
Experts like Reichlin-Melnick and Noraste say they will continue to confront lies and disinformation. They believe it's important to keep reminding people of what is true, what is not true, and what we simply don't know yet. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
This is the first in a series of stories focused on separating the facts from the myths regarding border security. Back to school is supposed to be an exciting time for parents and students, but at one elementary school in Oceanside Unified, it was anything but. Parents tell North County reporter Alexander Nguyen, construction at Pablo Toc is a hazard for their children.
Things are quiet now at Pablo Toc School of the Arts in Oceanside, but this was the scene on the first day of school on August 15th.
As students are coming on the campus, up is they are driving cars through the blacktop area.
Construction equipment visible while students are lining up to head to class.
Just an enormous amount of issues that first day of school.
And last week, students were evacuated after the construction crew hit a power pole, causing a downed power line in the middle of campus.
There's fire and smoke. The principal just went running.
That cemented the decision for M. Kelly to keep her son out of school.
I just personally don't feel comfortable sending my child to school.
In an email sent to parents last Friday, Oceanside Unified School District says the construction crew meets daily to review safety procedures to ensure students' safety. A district spokesperson says the district is working with parents to address their concerns. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Veterans from all over the country are in Santiago this week for a series of adaptive sports events. It's all part of the VA Summer Sports Clinic. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer caught up with them yesterday at a morning surf session.
Navy veteran Miguel Navarro is one of more than 100 disabled veterans in town this week for the clinic. He's from Miami, Florida, and uses a wheelchair. It's his second time at the clinic, and he says the surfing this year is already better than last, because now he's able to sit upright on the board. Last year, he laid face down.
And it's so much better because now I can really see where I'm going and feel the acceleration. It's almost like back riding on a motorcycle again.
Adaptive surfing looks a little different for each person. After a safety and training brief, teams of coaches help each veteran into the water. Everyone catches wave after wave. Adaptive surfing is just one of several events this week. Veterans will also sail, cycle, and kayak. Navarro says adaptive sports can really make a difference.
It really makes you feel like you can still do a lot of things. It brings a lot of confidence back into you.
120 veterans are participating in this year's clinic. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Tuesday.